Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janet. We are just grateful that you have taken the time out of your schedule, whatever it is that you're involved in, to just listen in on what the Lord has to say to us today. We are truly grateful. There are many things that are going on all over the land that we could complain about. But there are many things that are going on all over the land that we could be grateful for as well. Yes, yes. Our scripture reading is found in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep. My sheep. They hear my voice. And I know them, and they know me. Who is talking here? Who is saying this? This is the voice of God. His son Jesus Christ speaking to us, telling us what we're supposed to be aware of. We're supposed to be aware of his voice when he speaks and where he say we're supposed to go and we're supposed to what? Follow him. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for this day, thanking you for the opportunity that you have given us. This is a new day for us, God. You blessed us this morning when you touched us, oh God, with your finger, even if you just looked our way, God, or just breathe on us, you blessed us with your hand of grace and your thoughts. Mercy that you give to us every day, grace and mercy. And many times we don't deserve it, but you give it to us anyway. And we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sacrificing your son, Jesus, for our sins. Oh, God, thank you. For Jesus who went to that cross and hung on there. Such a sin, disgraceful debt. But he was one who knew no sin. He had no sin. But he hung on that old rugged cross in our behalf. And we should always remember that. We should always keep that dear in our thoughts, dear in our minds, dear in our spirits. As we hear the voice, as we follow, we should always be aware of the sacrifice that took place. Oh, God. When vinegar was given in the place of water. Oh, God. When a beating took place all night long, we should always remember those things. Oh, God. Oh, Master, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to draw us nigh to you. Help us to be merciful, oh God. bring us down off of the high horses that we sometimes climb up on. Oh, God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus. Help us to be concerned for one another, those who we don't know as well as those we do know. Help us. Help us. Oh, we ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Look upon those who are bereaved, oh God. Those who are sick. Those who are going through losses, regardless of what the loss may be, jobs, careers, just a loss in salaries, a loss in the self-esteem, a loss in the mentality that so many of us are losing. We're losing our mental sharpness. Oh, God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to look upon us, oh, God. Help us to open up our mouths and cry out for help. And then, oh, God, when they come to us for help, help us to help silently and not always talking so loud about what we're doing or what this hand over here is doing. The right hand should not even know many times what the left hand is doing. The only one who should know is you, oh God. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus to help us. Help us be a light shining in a dark place. You know, there's a commercial that comes on TV and it talks about a secure place. Secure, I'm secure. That's what we're supposed to be, a secure place. But people can come to us because we went to someone too. And they didn't talk. They just did what was needed. And that's how we are where we are today. We ask you, God, help us to give what we have received from you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And we thank God. We thank him because we know that it's all through his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. His grace and mercy. My sheep know my voice and I know them and they follow me. Who are you following? Who are you following? Follow, follow, follow. Follow the yellow brick road. There is a road, and it was called the yellow brick. It was the yellow brick road. And we could see who was going down the yellow brick road. Huh? Yeah. But, of course, they were going to go see a wizard, and they were trying to get some kind of help. But they thought that their help relied in the wizard. But today I want to acknowledge, I want to serve notice that our help comes from God. The wizard can't help us. He may produce a temporary fix, but our God is an awesome God. And when he fixed, oh, it's well fixed. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. So who are you following? That is the question. Could it be that you're so busy following your girlfriends or your male friends or your buddies that we don't have time to learn who we really should be following? We are not interested in trying to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We're not interested in that. And many times the reason why we're not interested is because we don't even understand what having that type of relationship really means. When you hear the word personal relationship, many times we think personal has to do with something sexual. And how can you have a relationship with God? How can you have a relationship like that with him and you can't see him, you can't touch him? How can that be? We don't even go so far as to think that that is not what we're talking about. The personal relationship that we're talking about is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done in our life. He has created us, for one. He has put us in his image, for two. We're in his likeness, for three. And he has instilled in us the power of love as our weapon that is of mass destruction. Love, because he said, go ye therefore, huh? Teach. We're going to do all these things. We got to do it all in love. Love ye one another as I what? Have loved you. Loving. Being kind. So who are you following? What are you following? When we follow the wrong thing, we can have, we can land on a crooked street, a narrow path, and even sometime a dark road. Think about that. Pitch black. So have you been going down the wrong road? Have you taken the wrong turn? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's get clear with that. There's no one that has not sinned. We all have done it. Case closed. Yes. And you know, when I used to tell this to the kids, you being a teacher, you know, someone like to them in authority, and you saying, we all have sinned, so that means you did something? Yeah, and then they want to get quiet, and then they really want to ask you, what did you do? And I was always a teacher. I didn't mind telling you what it was I did at that time, because I had did many things when I was young and had to get punished. Yeah. And I would explain to them, we all have did wrong things. Everybody that you see, every big person that you see walking around you have done some things that were not pleasing to God. And we had to go to him and repent, ask him to forgive us for those sins and change. And he would change us. He would help us to get it right. And, of course, you know, they would just be sitting listening, because so often we as adults, we give the image that we never did that. Oh, I've never done that. And it's not the truth. Who are you following? Who? Who are you following? Listen to this. We don't have to stay in the mud and the mercury, the mirror. We can learn to follow something new, something fresh, something that's the best thing that could ever happen to us. We can learn to embrace that. And it's through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. Go quickly with me to Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And it says here, I'll just give you a little overview of this, the book of Exodus, and it says in the chapter of Exodus, it is called Israel's detour in the wilderness. Now think about that. When you're getting a detour, the detour simply means there wasn't an actual way in which you were supposed to go when you mapped things out and when it was discussed. So now you're on a detour mission. You have been assigned to go a different route. So here we see that the children of Israel have come out of Egypt after years of being in bondage. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Yeah. They've come out. And it was easy to see how fast they were afraid. They were afraid and in a state of constant looking back. They were constantly looking back. Why? They were constantly looking back because they were just worried. They were so uncertain about going forward. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Who are you following? With a lot of uncertainty, they kept on following Moses while still in the state of mind of uncertainty. Questioning, wondering, great disbelief. Their belief in Moses and the God that Moses talked about was very poor. They begin to feel that Moses had brought them into the wilderness to let them die out there. Now, whenever I read this, I would always say to myself, now Moses is going to take all this time, go through all that what he went through with Pharaoh to get you away from Pharaoh, and then to get you out here, see the seas been parted, and I mean, just everything you can imagine took place, and now you're thinking, I brought you out here just to let you die? But see, this is the mindset. This is the mindset of men. Mm-hmm. That's why the question is, who are you following? Who are you following? And what are you listening to? Who are you following? And then while you're following, are you in this state of uncertainty? Disbelief, fearful, while you're following. Not realizing that Moses was being led. This is what they didn't really understand. Moses was being led by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who was leading Moses. Moses didn't operate on his own. Well, not at that point, not at that time. He wasn't operating on his own. He was listening to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to say. Doubt, and you will do without. And many times, this is the case. This is why things are like it they are. And you wonder, what doubt, unbelief. So who are you following? They stayed in the wilderness a very long time. A very long time. Because they chose to follow doubt, unbelief, and uncertainty. And they stayed there with that. And not only did they stay there with that, they grew it. They grew it generation after generation. It grew. They planted this seed and they taught someone else. It was teaching how to be uncertain, how to be in a state of mind of being in unbelief and not trusting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's look at the book of Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. Yeah. Going to move real quickly here. Here we see Antiope, a pathetic, weak man, had the wish of death set before him by his stepdaughter. Now I want to just give a little, and then I'm going to come back and explain this. The stepdaughter wanted him to carry out because mainly she wanted him to kill John the Baptist. Kill John the Baptist for telling the truth. In the name of Jesus, for telling the truth, for opening up your mouth, telling the truth, for speaking the truth for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Her request was to behead him. Who are you following? Who are you following? Here, she was following her mother. She was following the king. King Herod, that's who she was following. And she was following Satan. Evil, evil, evil. Who are you following? Extremely evil. The example here is that he told Herod, the ruler of Galilee, that he should not divorce John the Baptist. John told Herod, the ruler of Galilee, that he should not divorce his first wife. Take that. And unlawfully take his sister-in-law as his second wife. Now, you just say, I'm just tired of her. I don't want her no more. I want to just get rid of her. John was trying to explain to them that is not how the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is not how it operates. You just don't divorce your wife because you just tired of her, you want another wife. You don't do that like that. But that's what King Herod, that's what they wanted to do. And so when he said this, he didn't say it privately. He said this publicly. So everyone heard this, and everyone began to watch the king. And for some of them, for the first time, they heard his plan, what he was going to do. Evil at its best. Who are you following? So because of this, because he took a stand for what was right, the daughter of this woman, listen to me, the daughter. So the stepdaughter. She wanted him to be beheaded because he had exposed what they were doing, and it made them look bad because he was telling them the truth and they didn't want to believe it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Who are you following? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Who are you following? It is so important to make sure that you're following sound doctrine, following someone that is leading you the right way. To you young people, and really to everybody, because this topic here has no age to this. Many of us have made wrong choices by following the wrong person, the wrong doctrine, making the wrong choice. Yes. We who are in Christ must learn to stand for what is right. What is right in the eyes of God? 1 Corinthians 11:1 reminds us to be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. If I imitate Christ, what I say imitate? If you see me and I'm doing what you know is the right thing to do, and you most of the time would know this is what Jesus would want you to do, then this is where you should be going. You should be following that. Whatever that act is. If it's an act of kindness, if it's an act of love, a lack of mercy. Yeah, because a lot of times we don't show mercy. But we're supposed to be doing that. An act of meekness, kindness to one another, showing love. It pleased me that you continue to remember and honor me by keeping up the traditions of the faith that was taught to you. Yes. John 10:27, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus had many followers. He had Peter. He had Andrew. He had James. He had John. He had Philip. He had Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, Thaddeus, Solomon of Zeal, Judas, Zacharias, who we know betrayed Christ. But at one time, he was a follower of Christ. So the question is, who are you following? What are you following? Whatever it is that you're following, is it something good? Is it something that's going to bring you into eternity? Is it something that's going to give you eternal life? Is it something that's going to teach you how to love one another? Teach you how to share? How to be kind with one another? Ask yourself, who am I following? Am I just living a life of vain? Vain. It's like an empty wagon that makes the most noise. Am I following with a purpose, with a meaning? And the meaning and the purpose that I should be following is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come thanking you for this day. Thanking you for your many blessings that you shower upon us. Thanking you for this lesson, opening up our hearts, open up our eyes so we can see and understand you. We will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor. Because it's all about you. It's not about us. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank God. And we say amen. Amen. We look forward to having you back here with us next Friday. And, of course, on Saturday and on Sunday evening, God's Favorite Ministries. And remember, who are you following? What choice have you made? Because, see, most of the time it's the choices that you make. Who are you following? What are you following? Is it something that's going to last a long time? Is it something that's good? Or is it something that you should be ashamed of? Or is it something that you should be proud of? Is it something that you should go run and tell everybody else about? That you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Huh? Amen. Amen.